much. Then we've got the court reassembled, and we'll go ahead and call the cases. We've got a combined, consolidated set of cases here, Fishbein versus Olson Research Group and Mount Day versus IPG, Inc. We'll ask for counsel for the appellants to go ahead and introduce himself and let us know whether you want any time for rebuttal.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Philip Bach, and I'm appearing on behalf of both plaintiffs, and I would like to please reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Done.
The facsimiles at issue are advertisements under the TCPA. In its two prior rulings, in the Mouthy Optum case and the Mouthy NIA case, this court noted that to be an ad, the facts must promote goods or services to be bought or sold, and it should have profit as an aim. Defendants' faxes satisfy that standard, and they also fit within the TCPA's definition of advertisement, which is any material advertising the commercial availability or quality of any property, goods, or services. Here the faxes offered property in the form of money to particular qualified individuals.
How does money equate to property? What in the statute itself indicates that money is what the statute means when it speaks about property?
Well, I mean, the definition of property includes money. There's nothing that indicates that it doesn't, that they meant all forms of property except money.
Well, in common parlance, people speak about property. They generally are not talking about money. They're talking about real or personal property. I think that's a fair statement. But sometimes, you know, there's a statute which will go out of its way to say, you know, currency or money does fit that. But in the context of the TCPA itself, do you have anything that indicates, when they offer money for your time, they're really offering, it's really about property?
I think the definition is broad and says any property, goods, or services exchanged for any property, goods, or services. That it's, money is the ultimate exchange, right? If it was a lawn chair in exchange for a haircut, that would be property, goods, or services. I don't see any intent for Congress to exclude offers to exchange money for other property from this statute. Oh, sorry.
So it says in the related section of the TCPA, you know, not the 227A4 talks about initiating a call or message for the purpose of encouraging the purchase or rental of or investment in property, goods, or services. So in that context, it certainly appears that when it talks about purchase of, rental of, investment in property, it means real property in context, right? It's true that you might, you know, in some remarkably broad sense, a person investing in monetary futures might say, oh, and I'm investing in currency. But in this context, property investing in or purchasing or renting seems to indicate real property, doesn't it?
I mean, in that particular section, perhaps. In this section, no.
Well,
Question,
Mr. Bach, is why would we read that same term to mean something different in another section than what it seems clearly to mean in a nearby section of the TCPA?
Because you would be ruling that offers to buy or hire are not advertisements, according to the definition Congress wrote. So faxes that say we buy gold or we buy used office equipment or I want to hire somebody to mow my lawn. Those are not advertisements under that definition. If money, an offer for money to exchange money in exchange for those things isn't an advertisement. Another way to look at it, though, would be that the fact that these faxes were advertising the commercial availability of the recipient's services. They were advising the recipient that if he was willing to provide property, goods, or services in exchange for money, they were willing to talk to him about doing that deal. $200 to talk about neurological disorders, managing disorders in neurological patients.
So these are want ads. In the old school parlance, these are want ads, right?
Yeah. I mean, want ads is, that's the way newspapers used to make most of their money, I think, is want ads.
And that's what you have here, your positions, that's what you have here.
Essentially, they're not wanting you for very long, they're just wanting you for 45 minutes or 20 minutes, but they're trying to buy your business opinion. I would like to talk to appellate judges about how to make an oral argument, and I'm willing to pay $200 an hour for them to tell me anonymously what they think. That if I send that by fax, I should have permission before I just start sending it to everybody. Otherwise, I violate that statute. So whether it's an advertisement isn't supposed to be the biggest issue. I'm sorry.
There's no distinction in your mind between survey work than advertising. As long as if somebody's prepared to say, look, I know your time is worth something and I'll pay you for your time, but I'm conducting research. As long as there's any exchange of anything for value, that fits the definition of advertisement in your view.
That might be too broad, but gathering professional opinions for money to sell to other people is advertising. Pure market research, we want to talk to doctors immediately about the coronavirus or something, and we're not going to take that information and sell it to some other company as part of our business so that they can figure out what products to try to sell back to doctors or something. There's no exception for marketing research. Maybe there would be an exception for medical research or something like that, or charity work, but there's no exception in the statute. And plaintiffs think there's no basis to create one.
And that's because you view their research as going into as a component of a commercial product, ergo it is an advertisement.
No, it's that I think that's part of the commercial purpose that makes it an advertisement. The commercial transaction is I'll give you $200 to talk. I'll give Dr. Fishbein $200 to talk to me for an hour. That's what he does now. He's a psychiatrist. You can pay him by the hour, and he'll talk to you. If you want to talk to him about how he treats neurological disorders, that's a business proposition to that doctor.
So then how can you distinguish that from the very thing you talked about a moment ago? Take the coronavirus example. I need an expert. I'm soliciting opinions about this. This is important research for what we're trying to accomplish. We'll pay you for your time. That's an advertisement, in your view.
Well, yeah, I don't know about pure medical research, but there's no indication this was medical research. This is marketing research. We don't really know what they were going to ask and what they were going to do with the answers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think that matters to whether it's a commercial advertisement. Is it the word commercials in the definition?
I wondered why Congress would pass a law which would deal with a fax that was seeking to get the recipient to buy something, but not to sell something. It seems strange that could be the law. In this case, the recipient is selling something. selling his time.
Yes, that's what plaintiff argues. You're right. Correct, Your Honor. That's what we argue.
So the sale usually, I get a lot of faxes. I guess I should bring suits. I don't know. They want me to pay for a new roof on the courthouse in Trangmix. I get that a lot. But but in this particular case, the sender of the fax is seeking it from a commercial transaction, but rather than being a sale to the recipient, it's simply a buyer to buy something from the recipient. And I don't know why Congress would outlaw one but not the other.
There's no indication they would have done so intentionally. It would just be if the court reads the definition to only to involve money flowing one direction.
Well, we had an NPO in one of Mr. Mouthday's earlier cases. Am I saying his name right? How do you say his name, Mr. Bach?
Mouthy.
Mouthy, okay. Dr. Mouthy, he's been around this block a few times, and last year there was an NPO, a non-presidential opinion against National Imaging Associates. And it's true that doesn't bind us, but we did say in that case that it wasn't apparent from the content of the facts that Dr. Mouthay was being informed that the defendant wanted to sell him something. We seem to be paying attention to the sell side of that, not the buy side. Are we kind of in the same spot now? That was a satisfaction survey case. Why is this different?
This is different for a number of reasons. We pointed out in our briefing that the court had a footnote at the beginning that said we're not concerning ourselves with a fax that would be offering to purchase something. The difference with the fax there is there was no commercial transaction proposed. There was no money. It was a how did we do satisfaction survey.
It's the very fact that these people were good enough to say, hey, your time's valuable, we'll pay you for taking our survey. That's what sinks them, in your view.
I don't think they're offering money out of the goodness of their hearts. They're trying to buy people's professional opinions about what they're doing at work and how it fits into some business that they're doing. Okay. And so they send out these, $200 an hour is pretty good money, but they don't want any Joe on the sidewalk, they're not interested in his opinion. They want Dr. Fishbein, licensed psychiatrist. His opinion is worth $200 an hour, not his receptionist's opinion.
Okay.
I think that's the difference.
All right. Well, we've got your argument. You've reserved 5 minutes, Mr. Bach. We'll go ahead and turn to counsel for the defendants here. We've got three counsel, each of whom has asked for 5 minutes, and that's the way you want to split your time, that's okay, but we'll kind of be watching the clock on that, all right? So who's up first?
Good afternoon, Your Honor. It's Samantha Southall of Buchanan, Ingersoll & Rooney on behalf of Defendant Appellee Olson Research Group. And as you just mentioned, the defendant appellees in both of these cases have allocated their time amongst ourselves in five-minute increments. I'm going to address whether pursuant to this court's analysis in NIA and Optum, the facts sent to these plaintiffs were prescribed advertisements. We submit that they're not for two reasons. First, they explicitly disclaim an intent to sell anything to these plaintiffs or to anyone else for that matter. And they also do not encourage plaintiffs to influence the purchasing decisions of defendants' customers. Mr. Early of Mintz Levin, who is appearing on behalf of ITG, Inc., is going to address whether the facsimiles that ask for recipients to participate in market research surveys and in exchange for their time receive honorariums or advertisements. We submit that they are not. And last, my colleague, Patrick Durant, who is appearing on behalf of M-Science and ITG Research, will address whether money is property under the TCPA and an offer of monetary compensation can transform the facsimiles at issue into an advertisement. We submit that
but
it cannot.
When that case talked about the, it didn't attempt to sell, the point of it was